just know that if it's not a perfect one niche, that's okay. The goal is to just narrow the focus. If you can narrow the focus to one, that's great, but don't feel like you have to, because that's where I think a lot of people get stuck down with this niche decision, is they feel like they have to commit, right? It can be a gradual process.
This is Digital Marketer. Hey everyone, this is Mark DeGrasse, the president of Digital Marketer, and this is the podcast that keeps you up to date on everything you need to know when it comes to digital marketing, from the platforms you'll be focused on to the cutting-edge tactics and tools that are working today. Today, our guest is AJ Quesada, the co-founder and CEO of Revenue Boost, who's helped over 400 agencies to become actual agencies, because that's one of the things we're talking about today, is that a lot of agencies don't know who their ideal customer is, don't know what their niche is, and don't know how to really serve their client to the best of their ability because they want to and love serving them. So that's what we're talking about today. How do you find those people? How do you find the good clients?
Awesome. Well, excited to be on the show.
Fantastic. So let's just get into it, because I think a lot of agencies, you know, you start your agency, you're hustling, you kind of take whatever business comes in, and then you end up with, for me, I had an agency, I had 20 industries that I was serving, and it was really difficult, hard to find those good clients. How do you kind of, you know, teach these agencies to build a business that they really love and can serve people the best?
Yeah, well, I love how you said build a business that they really love, because what we're talking about today is going to grow your business a lot, but it's also going to make you enjoy your business, because having 20 industries as a small agency is just stressful. It's not scalable, and you're just working way harder than you have to make money, right? And you hear all these stories like, you know, I was at an event. Actually, this is where I met Perry Belcher for the first time. I was at Driven in LA, and there was this one speaker who was doing $1 million a month, not as an agency. She started as an agency, but she had coaching, and she was doing $1 million a month with one sales process and one product, or I think she just added her second. And that's like, you hear these things and it's really mind blowing, right? Like how simple the business, right? But yeah, it's a really great question. And I, same as you, Mark, I started the same way. When I first started getting digital marketing, I was just like, whoever wants digital marketing and has money, I'm down, right? And my first client was a bagel shop. My second client was a fashion influencer. I didn't know what the third one was, but it was something else like kind of wacky. You know, I would say, like, I think it's fine to start that way, because I think when you get into digital marketing, you got to kind of try things, right? I think people that try to like niche down when they haven't even done anything, it's like you're just creating ideas in a vacuum, right? So I think you do need to go out there and you need to kind of get data on, like, you need to just kind of do stuff. And I think it's okay if your business is a little bit messy in the beginning, as long as it's not messy forever, right? So at first it should be a little bit messy, where you're like, you know, you can still have an idea. You can still maybe like start to point yourself in a direction of maybe where you have experience, where you have some knowledge, connections. But it's okay to kind of like take different niches and services at first, as long as you're doing it, you know, with the intention of I'm experimenting and I'm trying to find who my ideal client is. I'm not going to create my ideal client. I'm going to find them. It's a big difference, right? Finding them means like I'm going to actually do stuff. And then I'm going to look at the data. I'm going to look at what clients were the best. What clients gave me the least headaches? What clients were most importantly the most profitable? And what clients did I have fun? Like, what clients did I look forward to their meetings with, right? So I do think it's okay to kind of start out a little bit, you know, all over the place. Pick one, maybe either niche down on service first or niche down on the industry or like a client type. Really, maybe service is better, because then you could just get good at one thing. But yeah, I think it's fine to kind of start out. And if you're watching this and you do have a lot of different services, a lot of different industries, that's okay. Just know that if you do want to get scale and get to the next level, you have to add more focus. Like one layer at a time, add more focus into your business. Because one thing I've learned is growing a business is not about addition. It's about deletion and simplification. Maybe when you're going to like $100 million a year, I haven't got there yet, but maybe when you're going from like 10 to 100 million, then you need to start to add in like other markets and other offers, right? But if you're not there yet, if you're at six figures or just starting out or like low seven figures, you probably need to do less and just do a better job at it.
I love that. Well, I love how you're practical with it, because yeah, you got to make money when you start. And I think that's where the whole desperation of like, oh, I'll do anything for anybody is just because you're trying to survive. But that's part of the process. And I like how you're like, you know, use that information to figure out who you like, what you like to do. And then, you know, and if you want to scale, which a lot of people don't think about that, especially in the survival stage, is how do you scale? And you do not scale by doing custom work for everybody. You scale by doing what you said, finding out what you like, finding out who you like, and then coming up with a process that then can be scalable. So let's talk about that. So let's say that, okay, I've done some work, I've served, you know, 20, 30 clients. And what I've usually seen is these agencies are 100% driven by referral, which sounds awesome. It's like, oh, well, referral's free. It's like, nah, referral's a good way to end up with 1,000 different projects that go 1,000 different ways. So how do you recommend you work that transition from like just taking in all, you know, whatever you can get and dealing with those referrals, and now create a system that actually goes out to find the clients that you actually want proactively?
Yeah, really good points in there. Okay, cool. So now we're assuming like John at the agent seller has done some stuff. He has clients everywhere, and now he wants to step back and kind of audit himself. One point you hit on was the referrals. And yeah, referrals do sound great. Like sometimes I talk to an agency owner who's looking to work with us, and they're like, I have a 90% closing rate. And I'm like, cool, that means you're not generating leads. You're just taking like the really hot referrals, right? And then that means that you also don't really develop sales skills, because if you're just getting referrals, they're already told the value of your service. So you're not really building a sales process and a lead gen process, which is what you need to scale. It's what you need to be acquired if you ever want to be acquired, right? So yeah, it's kind of two birds of one stone, right? Like you touched on there, it's the adding focus in the business and creating an offer, but it's also actually the beginnings of creating a lead gen system. Because if you create a lead gen system and you're like, hey, I want to start doing cold emails, I want to start doing LinkedIn, which is what we do. It's like, if you go to LinkedIn, there's going to be maybe a billion people there. So it's like, you can't create effective messaging if you're just sending a message out to everyone saying, hey, I do digital marketing, right? So it becomes really hard to market yourself and sell if you don't have a very, very clear focus. So getting that focus, I would say step one is just audit yourself. It's helpful if you do this with someone else, a team member, or if you work with like a coach or consultant, they kind of walk you through it. Because really we do get stuck in our own bubble, right? We always have our blind spots, right? So you can start the process yourself, but it is good to get some outside perspective. But really just audit yourself. Like literally take out a piece of pen and paper or a spreadsheet and list out every client you've had. And then you could group them into buckets, right? You know, whatever the similarities are, all the bagel shops go over here, all the fashion influencers go over here, all the econ brands go over here. You'll start to see how like messy it's been, right? But take all the clients you worked with, put them down on paper, and really like go gather the data. How much did they pay me? How much did I make? And if you're like still doing the work for your clients, you know, you still paid to deliver that work. So you want to separate yourself as a business and think like, okay, even though I'm doing the work for my clients, it's not free. I like think, what would you have had to pay yourself in that role? So I found this transitioning from solopreneur to agency owner, it was much more easy when I started to think of myself filling in jobs in the business, right? But anyway, so yeah, that's how you want to look at it, right? So list out all the clients, group them into buckets, and think like, what did they, you know, what did everyone pay me? What was the profit margin? And just guess, and it's not very clear if you haven't been tracking that. And then you can even just rate them on like, you know, what was like your personal affinity, right? Like on a 1 to 10 scale, how much did you enjoy working with that client? How easy was it, right? So you can kind of just rate them on those factors, right? How much did they pay you? How profitable was it? How much did you just enjoy working with them from like, it was just fun to work with them and easy and we just got along. And also think about the sales process as well. Were they easy to sell? Because maybe some niches were harder to sell. They were harder to see the value. And, you know, some niches were like, they saw what you offered and they were like, I need that, right? Those would be the criteria points I would rate your clients on. And then you'll start to see patterns, right? You'll start to see like, oh my God, niche A, plumbers is so much more profitable and it's really easy. And if I had more plumbers, like it's pretty easy for me to deliver for them, right? And then you'll start to be like, why was I even working with all these other guys? I should have just been working with plumbers, right? So it starts to become very like, you'll get some aha moments of doing this, but you first just have to start out with the self audit. And if you haven't really been tracking your data, you just give your best guess or look back in your bank account to like see the payments. It sounds like this is tedious, but it's absolutely worth the time because like this is a one-time exercise that's going to just make everything so much easier going forward, right? So it's worth the time spent to kind of sit down and really like audit the past, but that's where it starts.
I love that. Well, and it's, you know, what's tedious is never having a system because everything you do is the first time you've ever done it. You know, that's tedious, but I think, yeah, you touched on it right. You know, just sitting down, looking at those factors and figuring out like, you know what, Sally was so easy. She just bought. She pays me all the time. She loves my work. We don't even discuss things. And that's my ideal client. And then when we're talking about, you know, the kind of cold outreach, trying to get the non-referrals in the door, it makes it a lot simpler because you could be like, you know, for your example, the plumbers, you just market to plumbers. Hey, plumbers, what if your next client, you know, that pays you stayed around forever and calls you every 3 months to do more work? Imagine that. And you'd be like, oh my gosh. Joe the plumber, that speaks to him. And so now the actual, you know, outbound marketing process becomes a lot more obvious and less, what do I say? Should I talk about, Because the funny thing is with agencies, a lot of times they'll talk about marketing, like, hey, here's how to market. And the fact of the matter is, and I know this because it was why my agency didn't blow up, is they don't want to know how to do marketing. They want to make money. You know, your job is the marketing. And so just sell them on that and they're good to go.
Totally. Yeah. And it's hard to sell them on how to make money if you don't really know what market you're talking to and what works in their space and what problems they have and what language they use and what results they want. Right. So that's actually a really, really good point that you brought up. A lot of symptoms, a lot of problems we have in our business. I always like to think that problems we have in our business are symptoms, right? There's actually a root cause problem that's usually not what we think it is. So if you're writing content that's very generic, if your website is very generic, that's a symptom that you don't know who you're talking to, right? You need to niche down. So that's one great example of that.
Hey everyone, I wanted to quickly interrupt the podcast for a special announcement. If you're listening to this podcast because you want to become a better marketer, then I want to share with you what I believe to be the most comprehensive digital marketing program on the market today. It's called the Digital Marketing Mastery Certification. You'll learn to leverage the tools and channels to predictably and profitably drive awareness, leads, sales, and referrals. Everything you need to know to become a true master of digital marketing. We'll take an in-depth look at the core digital marketing competencies, including content, email, social media, community, digital advertising, data and optimization, and more. After earning your digital marketing strategist certificate, you'll have the tools to effectively reach your target audience through a full scope marketing strategy. Get started today at digitalmarketer.com/strategycert. Oh, yeah. Well, it's so much easier than trying to do what you're doing, which is trying to be everything to everyone. And you're just not, it's just not going to work. So going with that plumbing example, what would you say? Okay, so I've looked at my portfolio. I've realized plumbers are, you know, the most profitable, the easiest to work with, and the most enjoyable. I just like building, you know, plumbing marketing systems. So what would you say now that somebody understands that? What's the next step to go to those cold markets and start to get some traction?
Yeah, really good question. So first, I would say if you do this exercise, you might have a hard time picking one. If you find that like two or three niches are really kind of neck and neck and you're not sure, don't feel like you need to commit to want to be married. It's better if you could do that. But again, niching down is a process. It's not like, I know sometimes you see these posts online and it's like niche down, right? And people roll their eyes because they're like, well, I wish it was that easy. It is really an evolving process and you should always really evaluate your niche every year. So if you're doing this exercise and you feel like I want to work with plumbers, I want to work with SaaS companies, I'm not sure though, just go get more data. At least work with two for the next year. And then you could have more data to see, okay, these guys really were more profitable. Or you know what, like SaaS was not a little bit less profitable, but I like really enjoy this niche and I like where it's going and I'll figure out how to make it more profitable and my business work. So like, just know that if it's not a perfect one niche, that's okay. The goal is to just narrow the focus. If you can narrow the focus to one, that's great, but don't feel like you have to. Because that's where I think a lot of people get stuck down with this niche decision is they feel like they have to commit, right? It can be a gradual process.
Or in the ships.
Yeah, exactly. And that there's a point where it'll be obvious for that to happen. But if it's not obvious, even after doing this kind of analysis, then it's okay. At least just make some decisions to get yourself more focused. But assuming that you do find that one and you want to become the best plumbing marketer in the world, the next logical step would be start generating leads, but there's still a little bit more the foundations you want to do in between, which is the offer and the message. So one framework that we teach our clients, and we work with most of our clients are really agencies that want to scale and want to generate more leads and have this problem. We teach them the non framework, which is niche offer message, right? So when I started Revenue Boost, we were doing a lot of sales coaching with agencies. And like I mentioned, when we were chatting earlier, I thought I was just going to start like a sales coaching business for agencies. But then I realized like most of them have this niche offer message problem. And it didn't matter if I helped them get better at their call scripts, if they didn't really know what they're doing in the first place, right? So I found that these three things make marketing and sales and really operations and scaling a lot easier. So the first is niche. Cool, I'm going to be the best plumbing marketer. And second is offer. So, okay, so I know my niche. Now, what's my offer? Now, here's something really valuable. A service is not an offer. A lot of people say like, hey, what's my offer? It's Google Ads. That's not an offer. That's a service, right? An offer is really like how you kind of communicate what your service does and how it's packaged and presented and priced. So for example, a good framework is an offer is really like your client type, the problem that they have, the result that they want, and the unique process you use to get them there, right? The offer is really like those four things packaged together very well. So that's where you want to start. So you want to think like, what am I going to offer these people? And don't just think about services and don't just think about like Google Ads or Facebook Ads. Think about like, what is the real problem that they have, right? And that, so basically, again, people skip to offer, you know, maybe they buy that famous purple book floating around, right? And they skip to just making a $100 million offer. But you got to, again, it always starts with the customer. The way I say it, like, I think a lot of businesses, they think that they're the center of the universe and the customer should revolve around them. But really, I feel like a business is almost like the customer is the planet and you're revolving around them, right? So you should really, really revolve around your customers, right?
As it sounds obvious, but, you know, it's missed by most businesses.
Yeah, exactly. So all these decisions, and it does, you're right, it does sound obvious, but it really is missed, right? But if you think about it, like you exist to serve the customer. I mean, yes, you start a business to serve your own needs, lifestyle, money, all of that. But that only happens as a result of you serving the customer. So if you just base everything in your business around the lens of like, does this serve the customer and keep them in mind for all your decisions, like almost imagine they're just an imaginary friend. That's when you're making decisions with your team, they're there to weigh in on the input. That's really how it should be, right? So in this case, instead of just jumping to like, what do you want to offer? Think what kind of offer would your customer need to be willing to pay a high ticket price for it? So, okay, you know the niche. Before you jump to your offer, think about what does the niche need? What is the problem? And this could be, again, an audit, right? What have I done for the plumbers? Okay, let's say I did 10 services for these plumbers in the past. Which of these 10 services really gave them the most value? And value is defined really in the eyes of the beholder, right? And the business wants to grow leads. So think about what was the result that the clients were the happiest. Okay, most plumbers, I'd imagine, want more leads, want more jobs, right? So cool. Out of all the things I did, what were the things that actually contributed to the most important goal for them, which was get more leads and get more jobs? And maybe you find out of 10 things you did, only 3 things really made that needle move. And maybe even only one of those things was like really, really easy to deliver. And you could just like churn those out, right? And you can maybe even just have like one specialty service, right? That you maybe hook people in with and do other things for them later. But all that to say, if you have, you know, a lot of that past clients that you could look back on, then just start to analyze what did you do for these people and what was the most helpful? And if you don't know, call them up and just ask them. Like they'll be willing to, like your customers will tell you everything you need to sell them, right? One of my mentors always says that the money is in the mouth of the market. And I think that's really, really what it comes down to, right? So I think this makes a lot of business decisions easier because I think often we think we have to have all the answers, but our customers have the answers. We just have to pull it out of their head. So go call up Plumber Joe and just be like, hey, like that thing we did last year, how'd it go? Why did you hire me in the first place? And what was your favorite part about it? What was how did it help your business, right? And if you have even just 5 or 10 of those conversations, you'll see the patterns. And again, this is really important because again, we always think like in our heads, I used to do this all the time, right? I would try to brainstorm and have the perfect, like, you know, okay, this is what my offer is. This is what my customer needs, but like, you're not your customer, right? So just ask them, right? So yeah, market research helps, customer reviews help. Even if you're starting at zero and you're trying to break into a new niche, I know maybe some people listening might be in that scenario. You can do prospect interviews. You can DM people on LinkedIn. Hey, I'm trying to get into your space. Can I borrow 10 minutes of your time? You'd be surprised how many people would be willing to help out a stranger to do like market research. And so it's really like that simple. We have tools to just, you know, DM, email anyone, right? So yeah, if you don't know these answers, then you could just ask them. But if you do know the answers, then you can start to just look for the patterns, right? What is the real problem they cared about? Why did they come to me? What was the best thing I did to solve it for them? Am I willing to keep doing that? Like, did I enjoy doing that service? Or you know, is that like sustainable, scalable, whatever it is? And now you have the foundation. You don't have an offer yet, but you have the foundation of an offer. You need to know the niche and the problem that you want to solve for them to create your offer. So that's really the next step, which is kind of packaging that into an offer, which we can talk about as well.
I love that. Yeah, well, and the framework you laid out is really simple. Again, sounds like, oh yeah, everybody should do this. But just like you were saying, just talking to a few people, like 5 people will flip your perspective of what you thought. Because I think a lot of times when we're making these business decisions or marketing decisions, we're just basing it off of our preferences and opinions. And it doesn't have anything to do with the market. Doesn't have anything to do with metrics or logic. It's just like, well, this is how I would do it. And it's like, well, one, are you your target market? Maybe not. And 2, who cares? You have all this knowledge about marketing that you're applying to this situation where it might not belong because you haven't done marketing in this specific space. So why not just ask? Because Joe the plumber might be like, you know what? The biggest thing you did was get me listed in Google Maps. And you're like, what? I've done it. 9-month marketing campaign with 1 million social media posts, and you're telling me that Google Maps is what did it. And that could totally happen, but you're not going to know unless you just ask. So I think that's huge advice. So now we got the niche, we got the offer, And so we got the method. So what is the method? Is that the whole like execution process, or how does that work?
Yeah. So then really the method is part of the offer. So the offer is the kind of the amalgamation of who's your client type, what's the painful problem that they have. I like to think of it as like the hairiest, scariest problem, right? What's the thing that they just want off their plate, right? And then it's the result you provide for them, and then it's the method. So like when you present your offer, you could really make a one sentence with those four things, right? So the result you provide is what do you really want? So when you ask Joe the Plumber, by the way, that was a great Joe the Plumber impression. So when you ask Joe the Plumber and he tells you to Google my business, first of all, yeah, I can imagine a lot of marketers are laughing listening to this because we do all these complicated bundles because we think it's cool and it makes us feel smart, but we don't always need that, right? So anyway, if Joe the Plumber tells you, I love Google my business, you can ask him why. And he could say, because the clients who call me inbound are the easiest clients to serve. Okay, why? Well, because they usually like need to fix it right now. And okay, why? Why does that matter? Because we can make that sale like in a day, be out in a day, right? Cool. Now that's the result your client wants. Joe the Plumber wants inbound leads from his Google Maps that have an urgent job to be done, right? That's the result he wants. Your method is how do you do the Google Maps in a way that gets Joe what he wants, right? But then see how, like, you guys will probably start to see it. Once you know that information, you're going to you have all the marketing ammunition you need, right? Now you can write a simple email, right? Simple email and say, hey, you know, we helped Joe the Plumber down the road get 30 inbound calls from clients who needed a plumbing job like ASAP, right? You know, would you want to see how the system would work for you too? And that's going to be one more messaging that email excel into being like, hey, I offer digital marketing, Facebook ads, Google ads, which is what everyone does. They just throw like brochures at people, right? If they don't have this kind of down. So yeah, that's really the offer. The unique method is just how do you deliver that? And even if you feel like what you offer, so I'm sure some marketers listening to this might offer like, you know, maybe ads, funnels, websites. You might not think what you do is unique, but there's probably something unique, right? Even if the service other people do, it's probably a way you think about it, a way you approach it, a way that you deliver it. There's something interesting in there, right? For the client's sake though, they don't really care. You just need to kind of find something cool about what you do or different. And then just, you know, slap a fancy name on that and just kind of say like, this is our proprietary method that we do with tons of plumbers, right? And then the offer is that. The offer is, okay, I'm solving this important problem. I'm promising them this result. And it's through this method of how we, you know, our way of doing Google Maps for plumbers. So that's really the offer.
I love that. Well, and it really puts the method last, which is really how it should be, because you know, the business owner does not give a crap about how you do it. They care about the fact that the offer said, hey, I'm going to get 30 new inbound leads and I would love that. So now I'm going to talk to you. And, you know, as marketers, you'd probably be embarrassed that the meat of the offer is you putting their business up on Google Maps. But who cares? You know, they don't know the difference. They'll be amazed. They just care about the result. And so I think it's almost like as a marketer, you got to step back from the ego, step back from the fact that you've built all these skills over the years, and just acknowledge the fact that this niche wants this thing. That's super easy to do. And there's nothing wrong with that. Go ahead and get them the business. They'll be happy. You'll get paid. And now you didn't waste a year doing a methodology that, you know, it could be ineffective. You know, I came from content marketing. So I always say like, all right, we're going to make 5,000 pieces of content. And in several years, you're really going to appreciate it. And you're not going to last years. You're going to last a couple of months. And they're like, you put up 50 articles. It hasn't done enough for the business. And I'm like, well, that's because it takes a while.
Yeah.
they just want a result. And if that takes, you know, delivering whatever the thing is that you thought was a really easy thing to do, that's fine. Nothing wrong with that. Just keep going. So I love the whole system. Super practical. Easy to execute and doesn't, you know, require a huge, actually the biggest lift that you described is the step back from, you know, the ego that you have to do the awesome cutting edge marketing to make money, and just acknowledging that it doesn't require that all the time and you'll be happy.
Yeah, totally. No, man, I love the way you explained it. Yeah. Like it really is ego, right? Or it could be ego, or it could be just, again, wanting to like practice your marketing chops because you have these skills, right? But again, the business exists to serve the customer, not you. You will get served by the business, but I just find it really helpful to think about the business as a separate entity that exists to serve my customer, right? I mean, I think everything, it just lights up when you start to view things from that lens. And yeah, even if it's boring, like, cool. Would you rather be broke and struggling, or would you rather be like making a lot of money, but like, you know, you're not that excited by it? And you will get excited, because here's the thing, business already has enough challenges, new things. So even if, you know, let's say that you find the idea of like doing my business not very appealing, well, you're going to learn a ton, because how much do we all learn every day, right? I got to hire someone. I got to build SOPs. I got to automate this thing. I got to learn about accounting. So there's enough shiny objects within your business to, you don't really have to go to shiny objects outside of your business.
Yeah. Or you automate the whole system and scale it and you're playing golf all the time or whatever the heck you want. Like, oh no.
Oh no. Boo-hoo. I'm sitting
take
here.
Take it easy.
Yeah. And then by that point too, you know, like, and look, if you do, like, it's fine to have passion projects, right? So if you do find like the way you're running your agency or the way that works for it a little bit, like, not exciting, fine, automate it, make money from it, and then start build something on the side, right? That's totally fine. You can scratch the itch another way. And I don't want to, like, yeah, I don't want to leave out the like creative people that like want to scratch that itch and do cool things. And I'm one of them. I struggle with shiny object syndrome more than anybody, right? And curbing that and getting more disciplined about just doing the boring stuff and doing it better, it's a work in progress. I still have to like auto myself every month. Be like, literally every month I look back at what I did and I'm like, yep, that project I started was stupid. I shouldn't have done that. I just got excited, right? And so you have to kind of keep curbing it. But I do think shiny object syndrome is a killer. And I've went through that process myself.
No, that's huge. I'm glad you said that, because I think a lot of people are like, well, he's just a weirdo that knows how to figure it out and blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, we're all dealing with it. It's just, you got to be mature enough to realize that that's the best path for not just you, but best for the client, which is much more important, and best for your bank account and best for your sanity and a whole bunch of other things. And you,
everything, yeah.
You know, literally everything. You will, if you just commit to, I'd say a month or two of what you just described, it will transform your whole business. And you'll be much, much happier and more secure in what you're doing than you ever have been.
Yeah, 100%. It's really like, so I've been thinking to write a book on this. I'm going to write a book on it. I'm just thinking about doing it, you know, getting started soon. And I was thinking of calling it like the hidden force, because that's what it really is. It's like the invisible hand that makes your business easier or harder, right? When you're not focused and you're not clear on niche offer and message, then it really is like an invisible hand that you don't really know why these problems are happening and why you feel like stressed out and why things are just messy, but that's what it is. So it really is this like kind of invisible layer that is kind of working with us or working against us, you know?
No, I love it. And listener, you heard it here that AJ is going to write a book about this process for us all to read. So as soon as that's ready, we'll have you back on and we'll talk about it. But I love the system. I think you're doing great work. I think 400 is just the beginning. You're going to be doing way more once people realize that it can be this simple and just follow the method. You'll be happy.
Just follow the method.
All right. So with that said, where can people learn more about you and possibly have you do this for them?
Yeah. Best way to connect with me. I'm most active in my Facebook group, which is B2B Sales and Marketing Secrets. So that's where we talk about niche offer message. We also talk about how to get leads, how to close them. So really active on Facebook. It's just AJ Quesada. And then the group is B2B Sales and Marketing Secrets. Or you can also friend me on LinkedIn, AJ Quesada. I check that pretty often too.
Fantastic. Well, definitely reach out to AJ. Find out more about how to streamline your marketing agency and stop going crazy and serve clients, which is what we should all be focused on 99% of the time. So thank you so much, AJ. Appreciate you.
Appreciate you too, man.
All right. And thank you so much for listening. Be sure to hit that follow button so you get notified when all of our new episodes release. Please share this with that friend who's clueless about digital marketing. And don't forget to visit digitalmarketer.com, where you can access all of our courses, certifications, and training programs. Thanks again, everyone, and we'll see you next time.
This is Digital Marketer.
Get ready for the two easiest ways for you to generate product photos for your e-commerce store. I'm Lauren Petrullo, founder and CEO of Mongoose Media and Digital Marketer Academy faculty member. I've managed over 50,000 SKUs for over 100 different e-commerce sites, and I cannot tell you the importance of quality product photos. Not only are they important for your website, but they're great to be repurposed in your email marketing campaigns, your paid ad initiatives, and your organic social media content. It's imperative that you have great photos, because great photos sell your products and start conversations with your consumers. There are two great solutions when seeking out quality product photos for your e-commerce site. One, UGC. We know that native user-generated content wins all day on social. When you can get your customers to share back their use of your products in their voice, in their personal applications, you will see dividends when that is repurposed in your paid ads and organic social feeds. Secondly, don't have customers or UGC yet? Not a problem. There are cost-effective solutions in which you can outsource that photography. This and so much more is covered in my modules in our e-commerce cert with Digital Marketer.